Hello once again. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I've been up in here a couple of days that I've been up at work, and I've practiced preaching to an empty church. But I'm going to tell you what, it's good to see your faces today. And I'm thankful with all my heart for the goodness of God that has allowed me to stand before you once again. Today we're going to be in Psalm 41, and the reason I chose this is because this psalm helped me. The first few days that I was in the hospital, I read this repeatedly. And as I break it down for you, you will understand what I'm saying. I want to read it all the way through once, and then we'll go back over it. Psalm 41. Blessed is one who considers the helpless. The Lord will save him on a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he will be called blessed upon the earth. And do not turn him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to health. As for me, I said, the Lord be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I've sinned against you. My enemies speak evil against me. When will he die and his name perish? And when he comes to see me, he speaks empty words. His heart gathers wickedness to itself. When he goes outside, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. They plot my harm again, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him, so that when he lies down, he will not get up again. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you place me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. A lot of stuff in that. And brothers and sisters, today, you know, normally I write down an outline to what I'm going to preach about, but today everything that I say, with the exception of God's Word, is from the heart. Again, I want to thank everybody. I've already thanked the men that stood in the pulpit for me, but I want to thank those that came and saw me at the hospital. And I appreciate, even if you couldn't, I knew you were praying for me. So that, it means a lot to me. I want to thank Brother Matt for all the help he's done, for Brother Jeff, for Brother Allen, all of you guys, Brother Mel, all of y'all have done a wonderful thing by sustaining this church and sustaining me during this time of trial. And yes, brothers and sisters, it was a time of trial. I've never been through anything like that. Some of you have, and I know those that you have prayed for me especially because you know what I've been through. But one of the things I want to tell you about this morning is the goodness of our God, because without Him, I would not be standing here today. He followed me, and just like we just got through read, He sustained me. Now, folks, if you've ever been through a health crisis, now I've had colds and flu and pneumonia and stuff like that before, and God's always been there, but I've never had anything like this. This will put you close to God. It will put you within a breath of knowing Him. So I want to praise Him by reading this again, but piece by piece so we can understand it. It says in verse 1, blessed is one who considers the helpless. The Lord will save him on a day of trouble. Now, brothers and sisters, yes, we try to do things for those that are helpless physically. But what we do in preaching the gospel and proclaiming the word of God is to help those that are helpless spiritually. Without God, I do not see how people get through trials like I just went through the death of a loved one, through the loss of a job, through anything like that. I just don't see how, and even now I don't see how even greater degree than I did beforehand. And someone who considers the helpless, who wants to love people and to show them the truth of God's love, the goodness of God, the Lord will save him on that day that he is in trouble. That Sunday morning, Palm Sunday morning, I remember because I was supposed to preach here that morning. And I woke up and I couldn't speak and I couldn't hardly move. And Shiny will tell you, I fell down from a sitting position. Something was wrong. I felt helpless. And it was scary. Christine, God bless her, she was my chauffeur and she rushed us to the hospital. I didn't want to go downtown because I know how long the waiting line is down there. So we came out here to Lakewood, and they took us right in. And God saved me on that day of trouble. He saved me from not a lot of traffic being in the way, for them getting right to me, for the kindness of the staff that was there, and the kindness of my brothers and sisters that called me to check on me and wanted to make sure I was okay. Verse 2 says, the Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he will be called blessed upon the earth. Folks, he kept me alive. That, knowing that I had one heartbeat from here in eternity, scared me. Now, keeping me alive is just more than physical. Yes, someone can be physically alive, their heart beating, them breathing, and still have trouble. But God kept me there. He protected me in my hour of need. You guys out there have been through many things more than I have, more experience in life, more sickness, more health problems, more family losses, all those types of things. And God has protected you and kept you alive. His goodness endures forever. And not only will He keep us and keep us alive and protect us, He will call us blessed. How much more blessed can we be than to have the God, the Creator of the universe, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Son, walking with us, speaking with us, teaching us, loving us every moment of the day, even when we're in those times of trouble. And it says, and do not turn him over to the desire of his enemies. Now, brothers and sisters, I hope that I do not have a lot of enemies among men. You know, I try to be kind, I try to be nice, I try to be funny, I try to do a lot of things. But you know, there are other enemies. And when you're in a situation like this, the number one enemy is fear. Fear. Fear is one of the original sins, you know. Why did Eve take the apple? Because she was afraid she wouldn't be good enough. She wanted to be like God. That's the lie the devil told them, to get them to eat that forbidden fruit. But the enemy is fear and doubt. And let me tell you, laying in that hospital bed that first day, knowing you guys were meeting, I had a lot of doubt. Lord, what are you going to do to me? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to me? All those things run through your mind. Now, doubting does not have to be a sin, because where there's doubt, there's hope. And hope is found in the one who protects us and keeps us alive and calls us blessed upon the earth. That is the hope that endures forever. And in Jesus Christ, we have that hope. And we consider the helpless because we share that hope with those that do not have such a hope. And it's a wonderful thing. Laying in the hospital bed, I got to talk to a couple of men that were in the same room with me. Some of them had other problems going on, health problems a lot worse than I was. And let me tell you, sharing God, knowing that they were Christian, and praying with them, and praying with the chaplain that came to see me, was a blessing upon me that I've never experienced before. It says the Lord, in verse 3, the Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to health. I don't even have to preach that verse. I'm standing here. I'm walking. You saw me walk up those steps. First Sunday I came back to worship, I could not get up those steps. But I can now, because God has sustained me on my sickbed. And he has restored me to health. I don't think a doctor's told me you're never going to be 100% of what you were. But I'm shooting for 99.8. Okay? The only thing perfect in this world is God Himself. Okay? So, I'm shooting for that. And I know through God's grace and His mercy that He will sustain me. Every day it will get better. As you can tell, I'm still having a slight problem with my speech, but that is still improving. I'm taking my medicines. I'm taking my shots. I'm checking my sugar. I'm doing all those things that I should have done in the first place. I hear some applause or something out there. There you go. I've had a lot of ladies, especially my blessed beloved, tell me, if you would have listened to me, and you know they're right. They're absolutely correct. But being a prideful man that I am, sometimes I, in my misunderstanding of trying not to be a bother to people, I did the wrong thing. And when we get down to it where it says, I sinned against you, that's what I'm talking about. The fear, the doubt, and the not taking care of myself in the proper way. I realized when Christine drove me, I need to be around for her. I need to be around for my wife. I need to be around for those that God has called me to be the under-shepherd to. And that, brothers and sisters, I proclaim to you this day, is the goal. That's part of that 99.8% that I'm shooting for and that I, by God's grace, will attain. Not because I'm good or anything else, but because He is faithful and He is good. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, verse 5. Well, let me go to verse 4. As for me, I said, Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I've sinned against you. That's the sin I was talking about. I sin by fearing. I sin by doubting. I sin by not taking care of myself. And I could be here all night listing off little nitpicking things that I realize that I've done. But God is a forgiving and loving and merciful God. And no matter what you've done in this life, whether you've done little things or whether you've done big things or whether you've done anything in between, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness when you confess it and you repent of it. And that's what I've done to God and I'm doing here today. I'm repenting of not taking care of myself and all those things because God has been gracious to me. He's been kind to me. He's been good to me. And that is worth saying an amen to. Amen? And then it says, my enemies speak evil against me in verse 5. When will he die and his name perish? Now I hope, I don't know for certain, but I hope nobody has said that about me. Okay? But my other enemies, that fear, that doubt, that not taking care of myself, all those things can be almost anthropomorphized. Boy, it's hard to say after you had a stroke. But it can be almost like a person. That fear will come upon you, will attack you like a person does. That doubt will come upon you and attack you and tell you there's nothing you can do. You're always going to be like this. You're never going to get any better. And brothers and sisters, those are the enemies that speak against me. When will he die, they tell me. And I doubted in that moment, those first few hours. Lord, am I going to die? When will I die? What's going to happen? But he is good. He is faithful. And I'm telling you, as a matter of fact, standing here before you today, that he has never, ever failed me. And he never, ever will fail me. Will I fail him? Unfortunately, I'm a human being. That's going to happen. But he will not. And that's whom I serve. That is who is good to me. God Almighty. Now moving on, this is talking about an enemy now. It's not talking about God. And when he comes to see me, he speaks empty words. His heart gathers wickedness to itself. And when he goes outside, he tells it. You see, I'm going back to the part about the fear and the doubt. Yes, when it goes outside, it leaves you. When you speak the fear, when you speak the doubt, it will cause you to think evil things about yourself and about God and about your family. Brothers and sisters, that does not have to be. Because if you are in Christ, you are in God, He will never ever allow you to stay in that position. He will tell you why you shouldn't doubt. I mean, when I was doubting and I read this, the Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed, in his illness you restore him to health. When I read that, my doubt was removed. My fear still kind of hung on a little bit, but my doubt was removed. And I'm here to tell you, in your situation, whatever it may be family problems, it might be cancer, it might be job problems, it might be school problems, it might be whatever. He will never leave you nor forsake you. His mercy, His goodness endures forever. Amen? Amen. Moving on. 7. All who hate me whisper together against me. They plot my harm against me, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him, so that when he lies down, he will not get up again. Folks, I literally, not with my hearing, but with my heart, heard the enemy tell me that. Oh, you're having a stroke. You're never going to preach again. You're never going to get up again. You're never going to visit again. You're never going to do anything. First thing I did in ministry after my stroke is I visited. I visited with Lisa and John when she first went in the hospital over at St. Luke's. Folks, that charged my batteries. Doing the ministry God has taught me to do and told me to do and commanded me to do has made me feel like a brand new person, warts and all. And I'm telling you what, there's nothing better. When I came here to visit, to worship with you, I felt at home. That is where the doubt disappeared completely. God is going to continue to make this my home and continue to use me to proclaim His gospel. If I try to do it on my own, it ain't going to work. But God is sustaining my abilities to make sure that I do what He has called me to do. Remember the Bible verse that says, I'm paraphrasing, but He is not going to begin something in you without finishing that in you. And God has called me to be your pastor. Therefore, He's going to finish until His time. Now, folks, 75 years from now, if God hasn't come back yet, I probably won't be standing here, okay? Unless they come up with some genius medicine, but even then I won't take it. Because I want to go be with God. I want to let Him do what He's going to do with me as long as He wants me to. But after that, that's up to Him. Okay? And see, I can still get you to laugh, so that's a good thing, right? But it says, you know, a wicked thing is poured out upon him. And that's what the doubt was telling me. You know, you had this stroke because you're bad, you're wrong, you're evil, something you're doing. You might not even know what it is, but you got to be doing something for this to come out upon you. You know, you can do everything right in this world and still lose. You can do everything moral in this world and still go to hell if you don't have Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, don't listen. Listen to God pouring out His goodness upon you. Listen to God telling He loves you and He's merciful to you and He will get you through this no matter what. And you know, if it does come to the day, because it's going to come to all of us unless He tarries or doesn't tarry, you are going to come face to face with the angel of death. And whether you're scared of Him and running or whether you grab His hand and say, I'm ready to go with the Lord, He will give you the strength to do that. And He will bless you in the process because He will never, ever leave you. The God of Israel, that includes us, folks, does not sleep nor slumbers because we are in Christ. And Christ is God the Son. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. He gets you through the hard times and He will continue to do so. So, brothers, let me move on. Verse 9, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Now, in the New Testament, there's I believe it's the book of Acts, I might be wrong, but the disciples were talking and they recognized this verse as referring to Judas. I'm not going to refer to Judas. I'm going to refer to my friend, fear. Now, I was preaching against fear just a few minutes ago, but you know, sometimes fear makes you feel good. Sometimes doubt, oh, there's got to, you know, I don't know what God's doing and all that kind of stuff. Don't listen to it. Don't be friends with things that separate you from God. Whether that be feelings or emotions like fear and doubt, or whether that be some kind of carnal sin, whatever it may be, don't be friends with what separates you from God, because as we know, we are not promised tomorrow. You think those 23 young girls that are missing had plans for next month? They probably did. The parents probably had designs for their weddings and their families and all kind of things like that. But God decided other ways. And folks, we have to trust God enough to understand that even in things that we think are bad, He has a purpose. We don't know what it is. We'll find out one day. But this stroke had a purpose in my life. That had a purpose. The death of a loved one in your life had a purpose for some reason. It might be just to let that person go and be with God. That's His decision, not ours. We have to trust Him in that. I'm not saying you have to revel in things that happen bad to you, but we need to trust Him in the process. So, that close friend who ate my bread, who lived with me, has lifted up his heel against me. You know, I thought my body was, please don't laugh, but I thought my body was pretty decent. Okay, I was young-ish, and I was healthy, I thought. But in 1 second, I went from having all my faculties to having only about 75% of it. Folks, that's my body, my friend, lifting its hand against me. Now, yes, it was my fault. And I'll be the first to tell you that. If I'd taken care of myself, I wouldn't have went through that. But sometimes things happen. Sometimes things that you think are good and close to you are not that close and not healthy and not that good for you. But God always is. He never will do anything to harm you. The only thing to harm you that is even in the Bible is judgment. And that's not because of God, it's because you didn't respond to the truth. You didn't understand what God says about His love and His mercy and what Jesus Christ did on the cross. If that's the case, nothing can help you except faith right now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you will know His love and mercy. Now, verse 10. But you, Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. I want to teach my fear and doubt that it ain't got no more footing in my life. I want to teach my pain and my staggered walking and my slurred speech that it's not going to rule me. God Almighty is going to be the one that sustains me and helps me through this. So let it do its worst. It already has. I'm only going uphill from here. And that's why, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. All these things, these physical things that happen and the emotional things, they are not going to triumph because I serve a risen Savior. I serve Almighty God, and there's nothing in this universe to compare with Him. In fact, there's nothing else in this universe, this entire created order, from here to the farthest flung galaxies, that can compare to the simple love of Jesus Christ shown on the cross. Absolutely nothing. I guess that's God calling me. It says, verse 11, by this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph for me. The very fact I'm standing here today speaking to you from God's Word tells me my enemy has not triumphed over me. And who is my main enemy? The one who sends me that fear, that sends me that doubt, that sends me that anger, that bitterness, that jealousy, all that stuff that separates me to God. One evil being sends that, and he will not triumph me. Why? Because I don't belong to him. I was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross, and there is nothing that can take that blood away from me. Romans chapter 8 says that there is now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Paraphrasing a little. But that tells me that no matter what happens to me, God is going to sustain me in all of my troubles, in all of my trials. When I don't have any money, God blesses me with help. This church has gifted me many things over the years. Not only a job, but in times of trouble, they've prayed for me, they've helped me, they've visited me, and they've cooked for me. I think y'all can tell that problem ain't going away. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's an amazing thing. My enemy will not shout over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you place me in your presence forever. One of the greatest things that I can understand as a minister of the gospel, there's two things. One is I'm going to be double judged, and that's scary. But two, as David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. There, from the time I asked Christ into my heart, from the time I proclaimed Him as my Lord and Savior, He has been with me and I have been with Him in the heavenlies. The Bible calls it a mystery. But He has put me in His house, and once I'm adopted by the King, no one can take me away from Him, not even myself. If I thought I could, then I wouldn't be saved in the first place. But I know I'm saved because He has upheld me in my integrity. Have I made mistakes? Absolutely. I've confessed some here this morning. Have I got angry without cause sometimes? Absolutely. Have I left a mess somewhere I shouldn't have left? Yes, I've done those things. But I'm here to tell you, He sustains me and He holds me up in my integrity. Why is my wife and daughter laughing at me when I said that? Anyway, He placed me in the house of Lord forever, in His presence forever. And that leaves one thing to do, to praise Him. Verse 13, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. And I want to add, I know I'm not supposed to add to Scripture, but I want to add my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from everlasting to everlasting, all the way before the beginning and all the way till after the end. Praise be to God, the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be Him, the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. And do you remember what, from your Sunday school classes, what amen means? What amen means? It means truth. It is truth to bless God, who is God over all things. The God of Israel, the God of America, the God of Charles Yates, the God of Calvary Baptist Church. He is God. He always will be God. He's never going to go away, and He's going to sustain us forever and ever. Now, I promised that I would only preach about 20 minutes. According to my calculations, I'm going about 19 and a half. So I'm going to end it just a little bit earlier than I did. But I want to thank you once again. Thank the men in this church once again. And ladies, I've had a lot of ladies hug me. I even had one tell me I look real good this morning. Thank you, Ms. Joy. I appreciate that. She said I was handsome. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that was close, right? Amen. So it may, you know, boost my ego a little bit, and I thank you. Every Sunday, I'm going to get a little bit better and a little bit more. This week, I'm going to be in the office every day that I should be. I'm going to continue my visits and everything. So, folks, I'm back here. Thank God that this church has loved me through this time of trial. Thank you and bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's it for me today. So, pray.